Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
I am your show host, Bo Marchant, and as always, we appreciate you stopping by and joining us as we bring you the next collection of tomorrow's 2020 NFL Draft Stars, and we bring them to you today here on the C2P platform. If you miss any of these shows in their entirety, Apple Music, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, all opportunities for you, the listener, to download and listen to our guests at your leisure. Today, we're going to be joined with a PSAC standout. It's Luke Durkin. Running back, fullback, slash, a little bit of versatility in there as well. And if you're not familiar with him, you're going to be. And when I was kind of going through the numbers, he was one of the guys that after I researched him, I could not wait to get him on the show because basically he was kind of hidden in the dark, not a lot of action in terms of carrying the ball. But his final year with the Red Raiders, he burst onto the scene, and I mean burst onto the scene, to a tune of 918 yards. And you may say, well, that's not a ton of yards, but considering – if you look back at his previous career numbers, okay, he had 13 carries in total, two touchdowns for 23 yards. This past season, he had 186. But with that said, Luke, good morning to you. We appreciate you stopping by. How's the morning greeting you?
Yes, it's great, Bo. Thank you very much for that introduction. That was awesome. It's going well. It's great morning here, but I'm just happy to be here, happy to share my story and talk some football on this great podcast.
Well, I appreciate your kind words as well. Now let's kind of get into the nooks and crannies of it. Growing up, were you did you play Pop Warner Pee Wee, and if so, were you the better athlete way back when?
Actually, not really. I did grow up playing Pop Warner. I had pads on, and I think the first grade, I started out really young, but I was a lineman growing up. I always found myself playing on the line. I played for a league that we did. We weighed in and stuff like that. So I was actually like one of the younger, lighter guys. The younger, heavier guys. You know, and they're like older, lighter guys. I was usually with the older kids because I was one of the heavier kids. Growing up, that's kind of what I played. And then when middle school came around, I switched to tight end. I got a little more athletic and started catching the ball. I played for Lenape Middle School, and then by the time high school came around, I was still sort of playing tight end, but then my big focus was on defense. I played linebacker a lot in high school. And then senior year of high school, I played running back, and then the college recruitment began,
and then the rest sort of began in
high school. Yeah, I wasn't a huge standout in high school, but I knew I wanted to play football in college. I knew that no matter what, it was football was my passion, and I was willing to play it at any level because I was looking forward to who it would make me become, and not so much for. Because I had aspirations, to go to the NFL or anything like that, but just because I wanted to find a good school and play for their program and represent them well. And I found that at Shipp. I found that, I didn't have made a lot of huge offers. With the PSAC, they really only have so much money to give out. So a lot of the scholarships are certainly by no means full scholarships. So, I was still given some money to go there, and it was an inexpensive school with a very good business program that I was figuring out, and so it ended up being a great fit. And as far as education purposes and football purposes, a very competitive program. I knew that, and I really enjoyed the coaches that I was meeting in the initial processes. And what I learned quickly is that. And most of the advice that I give to a lot of guys coming out of high school is do not go to a program because of a coach. I think that I didn't fall into that, but it definitely assisted in my decision making were the people, the coaches that I met. And promptly, as soon as I, you know, committed actually, and as soon as I was on my way there, I figured out that the coach that had recruited me was leaving. And that's all right. I stayed committed, but it happens throughout that process. As coach, it's like a revolving door, you know, especially at the D2 level when guys are trying to advance, you know.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of those things. Yeah, I mean, the carousel in terms of coaches coming through and out, turnstile, if you will, is definitely big. Once again, Luke Durkin, the Shippenberg standout, running back, fullback, H-back, if you will. Mr. Versatility, I guess, as we learn a little bit more about this young man as he makes his path toward this next level. So this senior season, I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I know what was going on in Shippenberg and what the Red Raiders are going to do offensively, but I mean, you know, zero carries against Clarion, zero carries against Slippery Rock, zero carries at California PA. Then you get the home game back home in Shippenberg against Bloomberg, 31 carries for 172 yards, and then you add another three catches for 40 yards. What was the game plan, and what was going on prior to that, and what was going on prior to your, I guess, your collegiate career before we were, you know, allowed to see what you were able to do with the ball in your hand?
That's a great question. And it really, when I look back on it, was just that old saying where, you know, you just keep tapping the rock, keep applying pressure, and you'll get a break and it'll pay off. Previously, you know, the first 3 years I was a blocking fullback. I really took pride in my job in really blocking for some stellar athletes and making the most of, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield and just doing my job. I was okay with it. I was all right with, you know, I really just tried to pride myself in being a team player and busting my butt in the weight room and getting bigger and stronger and preparing myself for the opportunity that I knew was coming. But going into my senior year, training over the summer, going into my senior year, I was training harder than I ever have. I was doing things, running routes, doing running back drills, and preparing like it was going to be my year, preparing like I was going to get 20-plus carries a game from the beginning. And going into camp, you know, we had athletes all around us. At the wide receiver position, there are many Division I athletes, even returning, who will be back there next year. At the running back positions, our offense was very, very high-powered. And I knew that, you know, there are definitely going to be a lot of guys that they are looking to get, you know, get the ball in their hands. And unfortunately, coming into camp, I wasn't really considered as a starting running back sort of because of my size. I was more of like a prototypical 230 guy. So I was leaning towards the more of the tight end H-back or tight end, you know, role. And so that's where I sort of feel like I didn't get too much of an opportunity to show myself at running back, but I was prepared. I stayed prepared. And our first three games did not go how we wanted them to really at all. I found myself only getting like 15 snaps a game without touching the ball, and we were losing. And so I would at the end of these games I would, you know, go see my parents, and we'd be like, and they'd be like, you know, like, oh, that's another game down where, like, you know, it's not really unfolding the way you want it to. And it can be real for a lot of guys in a position like that, you know, where that's sort of just passing by them and it's not unfolding the way you want it to. I really found myself in that position, but I just knew, for some reason, I just knew within me that I was going to have an opportunity and I was going to make the most of it. And I just knew that I had prepared myself well enough and fully enough so that when that opportunity came, I would be ready and I would not have any fears or anxiousness whatsoever. And so I kept applying pressure, and that really just rings through my head is apply pressure, apply pressure, apply pressure every day, apply pressure to the coaches, apply pressure to yourself to better yourself and better your skill set at the position. And so week four going into Bloomberg, our running game was almost non-existent. But, you know, up until then throughout camp and through OTAs and practice and scrimmages and stuff, I was showing that I could do that, that I could run the ball. And so I guess, you know, it was a little bit of a weird thing that I was not given any carries the first three games. That was strange. And a lot of my teammates were wondering that too. And there were a lot of people from the outside in looking at me like, oh, why am I not being utilized more? And asking me that question. And I said, well, you know, the coaches are the ones who make the decisions. You know, we had a good relationship, but, you know, things just don't go that way sometimes. But I just knew that my opportunity was coming, and it really was strange. It just happened. They gave me the start that Thursday going into Bloomsburg. It was week four. We had Bloomsburg at home, and we knew we had to win this game. They brought me into the office. They said, we're going to give you the start this Saturday. And, Bo, I'll tell you what. It was the first game of football in my entire life where I was not nervous. I did not feel anxiety. I did not feel fear because I knew that it was my time. And I had every reason to be anxious. I had every reason to have those pregame jitters. But I just chose not to feel that. I chose to feel nothing but aggression and excitement to play the game of football. And then the rest is history. Carried the ball 31 times that game. I didn't have any touchdowns, but I was going for 10 yards a pop, you know. So it really that was a pivotal moment. It really switched for me. I figured out that you play your best football when you're having fun. And I tell guys that all the time. It's like, if you want to play the best, if you want to be the best possible player, you have to get excited. You can't have anxiety. You can't be fearful when you go out on that field. And that was the first time that really switched for me. And then it really had results.
The results are remarkable. And again, you know, when I knew you were coming on, I just think it's such an amazing story. I mean, we have so many guys on the program that usually, you know, everyone kind of has the same path. You know, you know, basically what you did your senior year, you were doing from basically, you know, your sophomore, junior year, senior year on. But for you, this breakout season, and again, I mean, breakout like no other guy that I remember coming on the show in recent years. So, I mean, I ask all the guys that come on the show, Luke. I mean, if you're in the film room with these scouts, what do you think they're going to love about you? I mean, you have size. I mean, You know, I mean, for the throwbacks, I mean, you know, we always stereotype guys, but, you know, I mean, are you the Tom Rathman? Are you the John Riggins? I mean, are you somebody else? I mean, you're a big back, and you're obviously got the versatility to make big plays. I mean, you know, the yards per carry, and then the passing game. I mean, you have the ingredients there. I mean, looking at the numbers, I mean, you have at least one carry for 10 yards every game. This past season, you had more carries in each one of those games than your previous career. It's Shippenberg. So, I mean, the production's there, no wear and tear, so you're going to be durable. But in your own words, I mean, what do you think these scouts are going to love about you when they break down tape?
That is a great question, and I think there really is a lot to love. One of the things you did just say was that there really is no wear and tear. That's also one of the things that I really pride myself on is not having remaining healthy throughout my entire career. I tried to spend the least amount of time in the training room as possible, you know, only when I was getting taped up, but I really refused to allow myself to have, you know, sustain any injuries or miss any games. I really feel that I've been blessed throughout my career to have refrained from any injury and stayed completely healthy and ready to go. And that's one of the biggest things. And the other thing really is the film room too. You know, for any college football player, they know how many hours they're putting in watching film, breaking down practice, breaking down opponents. And I have always found that when I've been in those film rooms and with the team, I just feel this eagerness to, you know, help coach with the coach, especially when I was a veteran at Shipp. You know, the responsibility really is to teach guys and to really share knowledge with, you know, a certain play or share tactics with how to become a better football player. And there really can be a system. There really can be things that you have to implement on a daily basis to get better at football. And a lot of it is mental. It's hugely mental, and it's physical in the sense that, you know, the training that you put in, you have to, you know, muscle memory, you have to train your body to do the things that you're going to do in the game, but you also have to train your mind to do that as well. You have to visualize, you have to be imaginative, and you have to really focus on visualizing the game of football. And every football player does it, you know, they visualize them playing. But and then you almost think it's like weird to imagine yourself, you know, making like big plays, you know, and being like the star of the show. But you should do it more. You should do it 10 times more than you're doing it now, and it'll help you. It'll help you more than you can imagine, you know. And I've always tried to take that philosophical concepts and apply it to that, and apply it to the meeting room, and sort of channel your aggression, channel your passion into playing, because it's going to make you a better football player. And I did that, and you know, sometimes it doesn't pay off. You could do everything right, you could do all the right things, you could be in the best position, you could be the starter, you could be everything, you could have what it takes, but sometimes it just doesn't pay off in the way that you imagined it to. And the key there is to just keep going. The key there is to not get discouraged, because I saw a lot of guys throughout my career who were sort of in similar boats, frustrated with their playing time, just get you know, give up and think that, you know, it's not for them and lose their passion. But you can't. And it's one of the things that I really would say to a scout that I'm bringing to the table is that I am a firm believer that it is a large majority mental. Yeah, I think it's like 80% mental the entire game. And once you figure that out, you know, it's easy to say that, and a lot of people do say that it's a mental game, but that doesn't make it any easier. The mental game is hard. Keep yourself up. You have to keep yourself aggressive, and that's almost harder than going through a 2-hour weightlifting session. You know what I mean?
No, trust me, I get it. Yeah, the mental part, again, like, and I'm glad you brought that up. The mental part is something you can say, yeah, we know it has to be there, but actually adapting that and to be mentally tough is one of the things. And you see the great ones. I mean, the great ones when they're in duress and, you know, that everything's kind of getting chaotic and wild. These guys are under control, poised, and, you know, they usually walk away victorious. Luke, we are almost out of time, but, man, I was so happy to get you on. I'm so glad we got connected. Wonderful just story, and I can't wait to find out these next few steps, but we're almost out of time. Before we get into the end of what we usually do, though, where were you training? And you don't have to say any teams, but have you had any dialogue, or have you heard any feedback that teams are interested, or any workouts or teams call or anything?
Yeah, so I'm training right now in Allentown, PA, with Craig Reynolds. I got in touch with him. He went to Kutztown, and he plays for the Falcons right now. So it's been great training with him. I'm with Brandon Bird at Bird Sports Performance, and we really get some good sessions in, both on the field and in the weight room. But and in regards to talking to teams, I spoke to teams when I was at the National Scouting Combine. I've emailed one or two organizations, and I've filled out questionnaires. I never really knew that was a thing, but like these like 10-page like long questionnaires, you know, asking some details, fill a couple of those out. And I had the opportunity to see and sit in front and have some good conversations with scouts at the Dream Bowl in Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, in January. And that was like a Division II FCS bowl game, you know, for guys. It was a great, great experience. And there were scouts there for 3 days just hanging out, you know, in the hotel. And it was great. There were Chargers, Falcons, Browns. It was the first time I'd ever seen like one and had the opportunity to speak with a representative from these great organizations. But that's where the majority of it has happened, is in person at these places. Not so much over the phone and stuff like that. But
yeah. These games are priceless commodities for any guy in your position. You make this path towards the next level. All right, man, we got about 2 minutes left. We call it three and out, a few off-the-wall questions. You ready to take a shot with those?
Absolutely, I'm ready.
All right, now take us inside that Red Raiders locker room. Who is the most impersonated coach on the team, and would they do that impersonation in front of that coach?
All right, inside the Red Raiders locker room, the most impersonated coach. It would have to be Coach Mack, our head coach. We definitely enjoy impersonating his antics. It really gives us some joy. But it's funny, during camp we did lip syncs, like team building activities, and a lot of it had to do with a certain position group getting together and lip syncing a song and a dance. And it was perfect because every single group managed to make fun of one of the coaches right in front of them all. So oftentimes it is in front of them, and we do have good fun there. So that was one of the best memories. So we're pretty
awesome.
We can be pretty ruthless when it comes to making fun of the coaches. They're good. They're good-hearted about it.
Wonderful. How about this one? Now, you start carrying the ball. You had a ton of carries. 31, 25, 22, 31. Throughout the season, who in the PSAC came up and gave you a pretty good hit where you walked back to the huddle and you're like, man, I'm going to have a hard day today?
Oh, boy. Shepherd. Shepherd, when we went and played Shepherd at their home, that was a battle. That was a battle. I remember my first touchdown, we had like 2 yards to go. We were on like the goal line. And it's like power. I get the ball. I bounce it outside. And I just lunge and lurch for the end zone. And I get over it. But one of their DBs came up, and it was like hitting a brick wall. I got over the line, but they were not going to make it easy. Those Shepherd boys, was the first year they were in the PSAC, and they brought the heat that day for sure. But
awesome.
You know,
it's
intensely competitive with everyone. All Kutztown, Westchester, we love playing because it's a huge rivalry every single game. And but that one in particular, I was taking some licks.
It happens, man. I'm sure you delivered a lot of them with that side. I'm in the final one. I'm the weekend of the draft, and we are a month away. Who's the best cook in the Durkin family, and what would you like that person to make as you celebrate that weekend with family and friends?
Oh, man, the best cook. The best cook has to be my mom. She's amazing, actually. I've been blessed. She cooks almost every night. We sit down as a family at the table, and she constantly is coming up with new recipes and just amazing meals. On Sunday night, she made a full Thanksgiving dinner with some of the best turkey I've ever eaten, stuffing, everything. So, when that time comes, I know she'll have a nice layout prepared for us. I have no doubt. But yeah, and my mom for sure is the best cook in the Durkin family. I'm blessed.
That sounds good. I might have to try to find my way over there on a Sunday to break bread. But
every time we have leftovers, she brings it to our neighbors. She's going around and dropping it off places. So maybe.
That's excellent stuff. Hey, Luke, fantastic career. We're so appreciative of your time. And like I said, we can't wait to find out where you land at this next level. We always like to say stay humble, stay hungry, be blessed. And we appreciate you joining us here on the C2P.
Always. Thank you so much, Bo.
Awesome.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Once again, that is Luke Durkin, the standout from Shippenburg, kind enough to join us here on the show. If you want more of him, iTunes, Apple Music, Blog Talk Radio. As always, we appreciate you listening to the C2P.
This has been a C2P exclusive.